Hello, friends. How's it going? Welcome to the podcast. Before we get started with our show today, let me remind you about a couple partners of the podcast. First up, Prepped Ready Meals. Prepped and Ready, they offer healthy meals delivered straight to your door. All you have to do is pop them in the microwave. They're good to go. They deliver in all of Metro Atlanta area. They just partnered with a fitness app called Fit Genie to make deliveries even easier. Go to PreppedReadyMeals.com, use code BINGE10 at checkout for 10% off your order. That's BINGE10 for 10% off your order. Everybody loves healthy meals. Everybody loves meal planning. Well, now you can do it all in one. Go check these guys out. Support them again one more time at BINGE10 at checkout, PreppedReadyMeals.com. Our other friends are our friends over at Rebel Boudoir. Have you ever wanted that boudoir session and needed the little nudge to finally do it? Well, now you do. Our listeners will get an automatic discount of $100 off their session fee when they book a session with Jillian at Rebel Boudoir. These sessions make an awesome, unique gift for your wedding day, anniversary, birthday, or it's just an excuse to rock that bod you've got. Go check out Jillian's work for reference on her Instagram at Rebel Boudoir or her website, rebelboudoirstudio.com. Mention us in your inquiry to get that discount. It's a great investment and an experience you definitely won't forget. And now, welcome to the show. What up, everyone? Episode 144. Wow. Flying by of the Binge Boys podcast. It's me, your man, your hero, Logan. And I'm joined, as always, by Matt and Mitch. And today we have a guest speaker, as you will. Her name is Amanda. Hello, Amanda.
Hello, how are you?
I am great. So, guys, I'll let Amanda explain about how we know each other because I kind of forgot. Oh, no, I remember now. I remember. We're good. We were both a little tipsy that night when we met for the first time. Was it Chamberlain's birthday party?
Oh, yeah, no, we were. I was definitely more than tipsy that night. But yes, it was Chamberlain's 21st birthday party in Athens.
Yeah, oof. That was a time. That was the first time that I've ever blacked out at a pregame and have no recollection for the rest of the night.
It was the first time that I've ever gone out and woken up the next morning having showered and not put myself in the shower.
Oh.
Someone, you know, there were so many people there that someone was like sharing the bed with me and threw up on me in the middle of the night and they had to put me in the shower. And I woke up and I was like, why is my hair wet? Like,
oh God, I didn't even know that happened. Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wild. I've never been back to Athens.
Amanda is a good friend at this point. She's been on this podcast actually a few times now that I think about it. Just conversing back and forth on us catching up. She's also going to be a recurring co-host on a podcast that hasn't been officially announced yet. So stay tuned for that on Monday, I think is the logo logo reveal, and it's an excitement. Guys, as always, we're gonna get into a couple new stories. We have a little bit more to talk about in terms of hot things, so we're gonna just do a couple new stories and then get right into the hot stuff. So again, Binge Boys podcast on Instagram, make sure you're following along for the ride so you can see our music, movie, TV, whatever reviews. Going up tonight is me and Matt's review for Super Mario Galaxy on the Wii. Remember that game, Matt?
Quite a classic. Not to spoil my rating.
but God, Matt, I can't get over the fact that you're this dark screen and you sound so defeated that you couldn't get your camera to work.
Nah, I'm good. I'm bouncing back. It's podcast time.
Okay, we love the enthusiasm. Follow along on Instagram, and also follow along on the Watchdog Media website. There are columns there, folks. There's only one right now. It was me telling you that there are columns now. I'm gonna try to do a lot more written reviews. We talk about a lot of stuff on here, but we usually only cover the top two or top three hottest pieces of TV or movies or music that week, you know, there's a lot more shit that we're probably watching or listening to that we just don't get the chance to talk about, that because it's, for lack of a better term, no offense to them, it's not as important. So check it out. We're going to have some stuff going up soon. But until then, you can just listen to our voices or watch us. Oh, wait, you can't do that yet. Damn it. Spoiler alert. You will soon be able to watch us. But God damn it, I'm a mess, man. I don't even know what the fuck I'm saying. So let's just get right into the I only have three news stories. I took a couple off the dock just because time had passed and the importance of them or the trendingness of them kind of died down. First off, kind of got a little surprise over the weekend. Amanda, feel free to chime in when you can, but I don't expect you to be super well-versed in the world of the fact that Jared Leto is returning as the Joker in Zack Snyder's extended Justice League cut. Quick little information about that. The Snyder cut is including Jared Leto's Joker, and he will become the first actor to ever play the Joker in two separate movies. Fun fact. Same actor in two different movies. Isn't that sad that every single one of our other Jokers is either old or dead or...
Yikes. Well, I would say one of them has yet to be in the second movie.
That's true.
Yeah. But also, Hamill did it for years on the animated series. So true. If you count voice actors...
That's also true.
Very true. And in the Batman Arkham games, he was great in those as well. But anyway... Yeah, he's going to be in Zack Snyder's cut. There's not really an explanation on how or in what capacity, because he wasn't at all in the original Justice League. So excited to see how the Joker plays his part. I'm not expecting anything big. Although, what's his name? Zack Snyder has said that this movie will be 4 hours long. So I'm expecting that Amanda's frightened face.
Good Lord, I can't focus on anything for 4 hours.
Yeah, I can barely focus for 20 minutes, let alone 4 hours. So yeah, that's the info. We don't have much information about it, but we know that he's coming back to be the Joker. Are you surprised at this, Matt and Mitch? Because I'm sure you guys remember back when Joaquin Phoenix first got cast, Jared Leto was kind of salty about the fact that Warner Brothers didn't ask him to be in the solo Joker movie. He felt like he wasn't given a fair shot at playing the character. Are you guys surprised that he's in this cut?
Judging from what I've heard about how he acted on set, I am kind of surprised. I guess Zack Snyder likes getting dead birds mailed to him for no reason and some of the other crap that Jared Leto was doing. So it is a little bit surprising, but this is especially for a movie that he wasn't originally like, that movie was so full of just like other stuff. I don't know. I mean, I guess by making it 4 hours is the only way, other way you find room for additional stuff. So I don't know. It's sort of surprised, but I'll wait and see how it is. What do you think, Mitch?
Yeah, I'm also surprised with this news, because I would have never thought in a million years the way that the Suicide Squad movie turned out and his role in that movie that he would ever be coming back, because he got so much backlash for his portrayal of the Joker. So I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this. It's... It could be good news for fans, but at the same time, it could also be like, oh shit, Jared Leto's Joker's back in this Snyder cut version of Justice League. Is he going to improve it, or is this like something that's going to bring the quality of the movie down, like in the long term? Like, I don't know.
Amanda, did you ever see the Suicide Squad, that movie that came out a few years ago?
I have attempted to watch it probably 4 times, and I fall asleep every single time.
That's pretty accurate.
I was a big fan of Jared Leto's band back in like middle and high school, and I feel like he does have the
chops,
je ne sais quoi, I guess, of playing this like crazy guy. I mean, I think I've told you before, I've only seen Batman films once, and it was because I was going to see Joker that I had to get like the backstory. So I don't know too much, but I do feel like Jared Leto is a good cast for it just because he kind of has that like crazy edge to him.
Yeah, I agree. I think I've gone on the record to say that I feel the same way about Jared Leto's Joker than I do about Ben Affleck's Batman. People are very quick to judge those two actors and their portrayals, but I don't think either of them were really given a real stab at fully fleshing out their characters. Well, I mean, Ben Affleck, I think, kicked ass as Batman in Batman vs. Superman. He was the I don't give a shit kind of Batman, where he's like snapping necks and kicking babies and shit. Like, that's tight. So I'm excited to see if they cross paths in this Justice League. We've never seen them fight. I mean, we get that like 5-minute scene of Batman chasing Joker's purple Lamborghini in Suicide Squad. See, just that sentence made me upset, because why does Joker have a purple Lamborghini? Whatever. Moving on to another crazy story here. I saw this on Twitter over the weekend. Apparently, because of the coronavirus and the movie theater shutdowns, MGM has approached Apple TV Plus and Netflix to try to sell the new James Bond movie to them for a little sum of $600 million.
Ooh.
MGM is expecting Apple and Netflix to, or one of them, to pay this sum of money for this movie, because at this point, like we've speculated over the past couple months, we're not sure if theaters are going to open back up again. So so apparently, here's some numbers for you. MGM lost $30 to $50 million due to the delays, just because of marketing and whatever. Other movies like Greyhound with Tom Hanks, Coming to America 2, and Without Remorse have all been picked up by Apple, Amazon. Borat 2 was just picked up by Amazon. MGM's spokesperson says, "We don't comment on rumors. This film is not for sale." However, several sources are saying that James Bond has been on the table for somebody to buy for quite some time. Apparently MGM is also looking to get rid of the property altogether and leave it all up to Warner Brothers, or terrible for saying it, Disney, to pick up the franchise. That would just be another behemoth that Disney could pick up and ruin. Speaking of this, guys, totally not on the rundown. I'm like an hour and 45 minutes into Joe Rogan with Kanye West. And you got to listen to it. Even if you don't like Kanye West, he's at this point, an hour and a half in, I don't know whether he's an absolute fucking genius or an absolute madman. And he goes on this,
I think,
like,
he's both, which is the scary part.
Yeah, definitely.
He at one point he goes on a tangent about how his opinions on Planned Parenthood. And he's like, "You know what else makes me pissed off? How Disney ruined Star Wars." And I was like, "What a fucking..." He's like, "I watched Revenge of the Sith like 12 times over COVID. You know what? That shit's good." And then he started quoting like Anakin, "I have the high ground." And it's like, Kanye, stop. Get back to your platform.
I mean, truly, how can we not, as a society, applaud anybody who can make the connection between Planned Parenthood
And Star Wars.
Yeah. I wasn't planning on listening, but I got to know Kanye's Star Wars takes now.
He hates the new Star Wars movies, but thinks the prequels are better than them, which I don't know if that's a hot take. He thinks the prequels are better than the new J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson installments. We could debate that for a minute.
That's a good debate.
But we won't. Because we got a piece of there's no other really to comment on this James Bond movie. Mitch, Matt, Amanda, anybody have thoughts about, do you think Netflix is going to pay $600 million to buy? I looked up the other day Apple's streaming service budget for Apple TV Plus, whether it's casting, production, whatever. they set aside each year since its launch $10 billion with a B dollars for situations like this. Would this be a wise investment for Apple?
I mean, I don't know about like the investment side of it, but it is such a huge franchise. And I think even before coronavirus, we saw this shift of like, I couldn't tell you how often I went to a movie theater since Netflix and Hulu and HBO. And so I can see how then getting this huge name of James Bond could be a good move. And like, truly, I do kind of think the movie theaters are dying. So, and coronavirus hasn't helped. So I could see it happening. Whether it's really a smart move or not, I think it's just the shift that we're going in.
Matt, yeah. Do you guys have thoughts?
I kind of agree. I think they should do it. So I think someone should buy it. Mainly because I just want to see it.
Selfishly, I really want to see this damn movie.
Yeah.
And
600 million. You've got 10 billion to play with. Come on.
Yeah, I definitely think somebody's going to probably purchase it at some point. It's too big of a movie not for somebody not to purchase it. So I honestly just want to see it too at this point. So I don't know who would buy it, but I know that it'll probably get bought up. And if the IP gets bought by somebody, that's huge. Like you were talking about, Logan, like if they're selling the IP, then that's huge news, because James Bond is like such an iconic character that's mm-hmm. been, you know, portrayed for decades now, that if somebody were to buy that IP, then that's like game changing for whoever did that or whoever would do that. So
yeah, I agree. It'd be a huge shift, because that's like MGM's baby. And I don't, if MGM doesn't have James Bond, like what else does MGM do? I don't know. I do know that I have a little piece of breaking news, in this entertainment world, guys. Apparently Marvel is eyeing, Oscar Isaac to play Moon Knight in the Disney Plus series. Do you have thoughts, Matt, Mitch? Do you know who Moon Knight is, Amanda?
I don't. I'm going to be really honest. I love Marvel, but I'm still learning. So.
He's another one of those obscure, more obscure characters, but he's like a fan favorite. And he's almost like Batman mixed with like...
Now, Oscar Isaac, is that... He's from Star Wars franchise, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, he played Poe.
God, I want to see him on the screen. I mean, please, but he's hot as hell. I would love for that to happen.
The previous rumors were Keanu Reeves and Shia LaBeouf to play this character too. So
it's kind of a different,
what do we think about the decision with Oscar Isaac?
But I just want to see Moon Knight. That's tight. And if someone who can kind of do the action thing like Poe did, then yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, he's a good action character. So I would definitely be on board with him playing Moon Knight. At one point, I thought I heard Kit Harington, but I, along with like Shia LaBeouf and who was the other guy? Shit, I already forget the other guy that you listed, Logan. But Oscar Isaac, I would definitely be on board with him as Moon Knight for sure.
Yeah, I feel you. There's a tad bit of a delay there, Mitch. So I'll let you back out and come back in. So with those as our quick little news stories, we'll jump right into, the good shit. We got some stuff to review, people. First one being, let's talk about The Haunting of Bly Manor. That's been the hot one, for a minute. People Been looking forward to this thing for quite a minute. Some background on it. Netflix original series. It's 8 hours and 14 minutes, but that's because it's a series. And yeah, it's kind of the sequel slash second season to The Haunting of Hill House. I think what I heard is that they're doing a, they're kind of going with the American Horror Story approach where every season has the same cast of people, however, different roles and stuff, which is kind of tight. So yeah, here we go. Haunting of Bly Manor. Henry hires a young American nanny to care for his orphaned niece and nephew who reside at Bly Manor with Chef Owen, groundskeeper Jamie, and housekeeper Miss Gross. Fam, this series, I'll go ahead and start it off here. I had trouble with it at first. First three episodes I thought were killer awesome. Like, really good at setting the stage, really creepy, really, really disturbing scenes, kind of first couple episodes. But then, welcome back, Mitch. And then the middle, like 4, 5, and 6 kind of lost me because they started doing the full spoilers ahead for Haunting of Bly Manor, by the way, if you haven't seen it, if you care, you've watched it by now. When they started dream jumping and time traveling and doing all that weird shit, it kind of lost me. It kind of got hard to follow for a minute, but, then like episodes 7, 8, and 9 kind of restored it. They kind of made sense of all the weirdness, at least in my head. And then, yeah, we got this season. I'm having trouble making my words tonight. I'm off my game. Mitch, do you have strong feelings about The Haunting of Bly Manor? Were you a fan of Hill House? What's your opinion, Lai?
Well, I never saw Hill House, so I was going in kind of blind with what to expect from this show. And I originally thought it was going to be a lot more like of a horror show. Like, I guess I was thinking maybe more like American Horror Story, because I feel like that's kind of like how the show's set up, like the series, like each series, each season is different. So I was thinking like it was going to be like American Horror Story, and it wasn't. There wasn't really a lot of horror aspects to the show, but I enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed the show for what it was. Like, I feel like it was like a gothic romance type of show. So it was really good. The characters were really good and fleshed out. The acting was really good. I don't really, it's a show that I'll have to rewatch for sure, because I felt like I kind of fell off on a couple of episodes and maybe missed some stuff that I wasn't really paying as much of close attention to. So it's a show that I'll have to rewatch for sure. And yeah, I think that's about it for what I have to say about it. I mean, I definitely would recommend it. There was a movie that came out a while, like a couple years ago, that I thought it was kind of similar to, and Crimson Peak.
I never saw that one.
It had like, it was kind of like a gothic romance type level of horror. I think I want to say like Guillermo del Toro wrote it, but I could be completely wrong about that. But it was like, it was kind of like they marketed it as a horror movie, like around, and put it out like around October, but then it turns out it wasn't really a horror, like the horror genre is more of like a love and romance type of story, which there's nothing wrong with that. I think I think that the marketing standpoint, you got to do what you got to do. But the show was really good. I'd highly recommend it. I'm going to have to rewatch it here. So that's pretty much all my thoughts on it.
Well, cool. Amanda, wait, Matt, you didn't watch this, did you?
No, I get spooked too easily.
That's okay, Matt. Amanda, did you watch Hill House?
I did. I watched Hill House right when it came out, and it terrified me. Yeah. So I'll agree that Bly Manor definitely is not really scary. Like, it has spooky moments, but not scary moments, I think. But differently than you, Logan, episode 5 is what hooked me. Because I think episode 5 is what got my mind thinking. Like, I kind of was thinking in the beginning, like, are they all alive? Are they all dead? Are they? And so episode 5 being like Hannah jumping dreams and then Flora, you know, tucking away into memories and everything. That's what really hooked my mind on the show. I will say, I definitely think if you're looking for a scary show, Hill House is the one of the two, but I honestly think I liked Bly better just because I thought it told more of a story with like the current cast and the former, you know, the backstory of Bly.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. Mitch said it also, with the exception of like the first episode, you know, when she first gets there and she's wandering the halls at night and you kind of see like the ghosts in the background. With the exception of like that episode, there's not much horror elements to it. The haunting is kind of a very broad term here. It's used very generously when they say haunting, because this isn't like The Conjuring or like Sinister, where like there's a family in peril. That's what I thought going in. Like, same with Hill House. Mm-hmm. I thought that this is like a haunted house movie just expanded into 8 episodes or so.
Right.
But I can agree, Hill House, I think, is scarier, but Bly Manor gives a better story. Because like I did say, towards the middle, I was like kind of out, but as soon as they connected the pieces, I was like, oh, okay. So this is really freaking good, because once they tie everything together there in the last couple episodes, I was like, this is some good shit. I really dug it. I was prepared to give it a pretty lower score. I was prepared to give it like a 2 or a 3 out of 5, but it landed a 4 out of 5 because it wrapped everything together, in my opinion. Amanda, what would you rate Bly Manor if you had 2 out of 5?
Oh, out of 5. You guys don't do half stars, do you?
No, we do not.
I think I would probably give it a 4 out of 5 too, also. I think too, one thing that really wrapped me into it is you don't know who the haunting's with at first, because at first they show Dani like having this, you know, spirit around her, quote unquote spirit. And so you kind of, it just hooked me from the beginning of like, okay, is she bringing the haunting to Bly Manor? Is Bly Manor haunted? Like, what's going on? I'll agree with the 4 out of 5 because I think it was really well done.
Yeah. Yeah. Production and acting, all the acting was really well done. Special effects were cool when they had them. Yeah, there you go. Haunting of Bly Manor. Check it out on Netflix. You can probably get through it in a couple days if you're really committed to it. Next up there, American Pie. Girls Rules. American Pie Girls Rules. A little background on that movie. A spinoff of the American Pie series. This one, also a Netflix movie. I don't know if it was a Netflix original or it was just picked up by Netflix. I don't know. It's 1 hour and 35 minutes. It's rated R for a reason. And plot is listed as it's senior year at East Great Falls. Annie, Kyla, Michelle, and Stephanie decide to harness their girl power and band together and get what they want their last year of high school. I'll say this, and then I'll let you guys talk about the movie together. I give this movie about 30 to 45 minutes, and I couldn't take it. I saw it as an insult to the original American Pie. The original American Pie is one of my favorite movies ever, one of my favorite comedies ever. I saw it as they were trying to do something that had already been done perfectly. I don't know, man. I fucking hated these girls. I mean, they were just annoying. Like, they were just trying to do the day. It was almost like a remake of the original. Like, four girls are just trying to get laid. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like if they could have casted like some maybe more like notable actresses, I would have cared a little more. But like, these no namers, like, no offense to them, I'm sure they tried their best. Like, I'm not gonna shit on they're clearly new. They're an American Pie spinoff.
Are you saying the president's daughter from Cory in the House is not a notable actress?
Wait, which one?
The main girl.
Madison Pettis. Yeah. Amy, right?
I might expose myself here. I've never seen an episode.
She was in the Tooth Fairy with Vin Diesel, right? Or yeah. The Rock.
And then the Game Plan with The Rock.
Are you just looking at her IMDb?
No, I knew these off the top of my head. That was during the movie. I was looking at the IMDb.
So I'll let you guys go. I don't really have a firm opinion besides the fact that I just didn't find it. Well, I'm having trouble tonight, guys. This is not right for me. I thought it was funny. A few of the moments were funny that I did stick around for, but I watched it with Catherine, and we both looked at each other like 25 minutes in and said, we'll give it 15 more minutes. And if it doesn't woo us, then we're out. And I'm not one to try to, I like to try to give the movie the most time possible, but this just wasn't it for me. What can I say? Mitch, what do you think about Girls Rules?
I'm in the same boat as you. I stuck around for an hour. So I would say like the first scene of the movie is kind of like, you kind of know where the movie's going to go just based off of like that first scene. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh God, what have I gotten myself into with watching this? And immediately I started thinking the same exact thing, like, couldn't Madison Pettis be doing something like completely different with her acting career than this movie? But I don't know why I was stuck around for an hour. Maybe because I thought that it was going to get better. Like, some of the scenes might, like, I was like thinking like it would get funnier at some point. But I mean, even the tie-in with, like, I guess it was like Stifler's sister or something, but like, I don't know. She was just a Stifler, the other character. Like, I thought, like, oh, she's going to do something, like, she's going to be, like, kind of hilarious. But really, she was just, like, a badass chick. And then it turned out, like, all of the chicks in the movie were, like, going after the one guy. And then I was just like, oh, my God, this movie is so bad. And then they, like, I could foresee what was going to happen later on in the movie where they, like, have their own niche group of like, oh, they each get a guy in the end or something. But I'm just like, this movie was bad. Why did they make it? Oh, maybe like a younger demographic is gonna enjoy this. I have no idea. But I don't know. Like, I'm surprised I gave it a 2 out of 5. I'd probably re-rate this movie a 1 out of 5 for me, but it was not that great.
I hated that 45 minutes that I watched it so much that I debated texting you guys and just being, hey, if you haven't watched it yet, don't bother. but it's fun to shit on a movie every once in a while. Amanda, what thoughts?
Well, I've never seen American Pie before, so this was my first experience with American Pie. We've had this conversation. I've realized over the years I'm not much of a movie watcher. I'm more of a TV watcher.
I'm looking for hope, and I can't seem to find it.
I will say, though, I feel like this is the kind of movie I would have loved to have watched in high school. You know, like, I mean, I watched the whole thing, like, half-assed. I stopped it quite a few times and did other things. But yeah, it was corny. It was, you know, you saw it coming from the beginning. And I honestly did not laugh out loud at any point during the movie. So
that's a key component to a comedy there.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it was good background movie to like get work done and everything, but I wasn't super impressed.
Matt?
You know, with my 3 out of 5 rating, I wasn't expecting to have to come in here and be the champion of this movie, but here we go. Holding up my shield for it. You know, like, I'm not crazy into the, like, a lot of, like, the sex comedy stuff. Like, I feel like I've outgrown it. Like, I'm, you know, whatever. It's just, like, not something that, like, I find, like, as funny anymore.
Sure.
But I do feel like they're pretty much all made for just like dumb guys. And so why can't there be one for, you know, high school girls of any intelligence? Like, you know, that's really what my 3 out of 5 was for. It's like, you know, it wasn't, I didn't find it as outwardly bad as you did, Logan and Mitch, but it was mostly like, you know, the 3 out of 5 was mostly like, you know, it's not my thing. But maybe it could be someone's thing. So, yeah, I thought that there were some weird sort of tie-ins to the original. There was a lot of pie imagery, which I thought was kind of weird. And then, yeah, like Mitch was saying, with the other person named Stifler, who I think is the only other person with a last name in the movie, which is like, well, I don't know. It's kind of a waste. But, yeah, I don't know. Not my thing, but I think there's probably some high school girls out there who might grow up and be their American Pie, Logan.
Yeah, well, you know what? Those high school girls can come over here, and I will gladly cook them a meal. That sounds wrong. I'm running myself into the ground. I will show them the original American Pie to show them how good that movie is, and truly how horrifying. It wasn't horrifying. I agree with you guys. I just, someone's dog needs to fuck off.
That would be my dog.
I'm just playing. There you have it, guys. American Pie Girls Rules. Check it out. I'm playing Mitch. Check it out. If you want to have a good time, and if you don't want to have a good time, also check it out. Ty Dolla $ign, one of my favorite artists out there today. He dropped an album on Friday called Featuring Ty Dolla $ign, kind of leaning into the fact that this dude never drops his own music. He's just featured on every pop star, every rapper, every popular song. Ty Dolla $ign is in there. 25 songs, kind of a little bit. I'm, if you've heard my takes with previous Binge Boys episodes, Pearson, Zach, and I, the OG hosts there, have all gone on record to say that we are confused about why artists of today are choosing to go with the 30 songs on an album when they can just release, you know, the 12 songs, or even 15 is a fine number to me. But all these artists go in with 20, 25, 30 songs. It's like quality over quantity, y'all. With the exception of that, I thoroughly enjoyed myself listening to this. I didn't hate it by any means. I really like Ty Dolla $ign. I did a lot of research about Ty Dolla $ign after listening to this, and he's a really talented dude. He writes all of his own music. He plays like 12 different instruments. He's self-taught on a lot of them. He performed at Kennesaw State's homecoming a few years ago, Amanda. He was the opening act for Wiz Khalifa.
Wow.
So that's where I saw Ty Dolla $ign for the first time. Also opening was Lil Baby. Complete no name. Had like one song, like the My Dog song, you know, that is played at every UGA bar or pregame. Yeah.
You can't relate. Roll Tide.
real time. So yeah, Ty Dolla $ign. I enjoyed some of my favorite songs on here was the song with Post Malone. I think I stand Post Malone. I'm sure Amanda stands Post Malone. I wouldn't be surprised if Mitch and Matt also stand Post Malone.
Sure. Why not?
Yes, sir.
I enjoyed the song with Quavo, the Freak song. I liked the song with Nicki Minaj, even though I'm not a big Nicki Minaj. I liked the song with Big Sean. I enjoyed a lot of these. I didn't hate it. Few Kanye West features in here. I was kind of tying it back to Kanye. I was kind of surprised Kanye didn't say anything stupid. He kind of came in, rapped, and then left. He didn't say anything too crazy, I don't think. Mitch, what did you think of this new album?
Well, I thought that it was a pretty solid album. I enjoy lengthy albums. I don't know why. I just think that it shows like it takes a lot of like effort to try and make a long album as opposed to a shorter album. And I mean, I know with shorter albums, there are songs that get like dropped on the cutting room floor or whatever. But with this album, I feel like they really used the space to like they filled this album to the brim with features, with, you know, like different types of each song seemed to stand on its own for the most part, like the beats were really like production, I guess is the word that I'm looking for. Production was really well done on this album. And there were a lot of producers on it. I don't have them written down or pulled up at the moment, but I'd give them credit because there was a lot of heavy producing on this album, whether it be vocals, melodies, the beats, anything like that. Like it was good. I had a couple of notable tracks. I had the song with Post Malone, Spicy, Temptations with Kid Cudi, and Your Turn with Music Soul Child, Tish Hyman, and Black. I thought that song was probably my favorite off the album.
Just very unique sounding song there.
I like the guitar and the drum tracks in that song, and the lyrics were pretty good. The lyrics on all of these songs are pretty good. So, I really enjoyed it.
Good shit, Matt. What do you think about this thing?
Yeah, I'm not quite as familiar with Ty Dolla $ign as I learned a lot in your little brief little rundown about his past there, mainly his performances in the Atlanta area. But yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. I think for all the reasons that Mitch outlined, my favorite songs, I think, were you can definitely tell I'm not stalling to pull it up. By Yourself with Ginny Aiko and Mustard. And then I also liked Everywhere. As a few favorites of mine that hadn't been mentioned yet. I thought it was a bit excessive. I kind of disagree with Mitch. Maybe it's just sort of my, I'm just not as into his style of music. But I was having a little bit more difficult time telling the difference in some of the songs. And it seemed a bit excessive to have like the 25 tracks or whatever. This is definitely one that I'd go up to a buddy of mine that I knew had listened to it, and I'd tell him, yeah, I know this is 25 songs long, but like, what do I really need to listen to here? Like, give me like the top five. So I in those top five would probably stay in my rotation for a while. So yeah, I was sort of pleasantly surprised.
Before I get Amanda's takes there, Ty Dolla $ign kind of he's like he almost like I said earlier at the top, like he's featured in like a lot of shit. He's like Quavo. Quavo's featured in a lot of shit nowadays too. He just has that voice that he kind of can do whatever he wants. Like I wouldn't be surprised if he was featured on the iTunes is listing this as R&B and soul, even though there's definitely a lot of hip hop here. he's got that. He's just very, I don't know. I kind of respect it. I do agree with you there, Matt and Mitch. I didn't think about it from that perspective where you said, Mitch, that it really feels like he put his heart and soul into this thing. He definitely has been working on this thing for quite a while. They really packed it with features from artists that are really hot and then artists that aren't really heard of as much. Like, I hadn't heard of a few of these featured artists, but yeah, Amanda, what'd you think about this thing?
I've got to be honest. I was dreading listening to it when you told me that it was going to be part of it. I'm just not a big like rap now person. Like, I'll listen to like Chance and rap from when I was in like college and high school, but now I listen more to like jam bands and indie and things like that. So I put it off, and then I got in the car this morning to go to work, and I was like, fuck, this is 25 songs or however much. But I enjoy it. I only skipped through one song. Pretty much all the favorites have been mentioned. Obviously, Post Malone, my heart and soul. So that's one of my favorites. But I liked Nothing Like Your Exes too. And something else I really enjoyed about this album is that a majority of the songs flowed right into each other. So even though it was 20 songs long, they were shorter songs, first of all. And then they also just all flowed into each other. So there were a couple times where I looked up at my screen in my car and I was like, oh, this isn't the same song I was just listening to. Yeah, so it made it easy to get through.
Yeah, that's something I forgot to mention too. I think I follow Ty Dolla $ign on Instagram, and his caption like announcing the album was really, he said like, please listen to it from top to bottom without shuffle turned on or something like that. And it's true, because like the first six or seven songs kind of just like flow into each other. I think Astroworld did this. Travis Scott's album kind of does this. Travis Scott, like Mitch said with the production, a lot of heavily produced albums kind of do this. They kind of flow into the next song, and then there's like a switch in the melody or the beat, and you can tell that, okay, so this is a new song. Like, same with me, Amanda. I was listening to it in the morning when it came out last Friday. And I was like, oh, okay, so we're like six songs in now. Like, they all the songs are like 2.5 minutes, for with an exception of maybe one or two, which was nice. I mean, it'd be different if it was like 25 songs and each song was 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes. That's when I am like, okay, let's. That would have probably given it a 3 out of 5. But I think we all enjoyed it. You know, like Amanda said, I didn't skip them. I didn't get bored with any of them. I wasn't just like, okay. We didn't hate it, did we, Matt?
No, definitely not. My one criticism that I came up with is like, I feel like Drake would listen to this and be like, oh, come on, man, grow a pair.
Yeah, there's a lot of songs that sound like they're dedicated to somebody.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But Mitch, you got any closing thoughts? You look like you're about to say something.
No, I feel like I've pretty much, I've got like notes here.
You don't have to, you just look like you leaned forward to the mic.
I got nothing. I hit all the notes that I had. So it was a solid album, I thought.
All right. 10-4. And lastly, guys, before we close this thing out, we'll spend the last few minutes talking about our top 10 comedy movies from 2010 to 2020. So there's four of us, and this might take a minute. So I don't want to have it take a minute. I don't want it to drag on, like I've realized that some of the other top 10s recently have dragged on quite a bit just because we're shooting the shit back and forth. And while I don't want to limit our speech, try to keep these things right around an hour. So let's see if we can get this done in 15 minutes. People know the drill. Amanda, we will just start from one of us and we'll each say our 10s, then we'll 9, 8, all the way down.
Good.
I will start as always. My number 10 of my definitely not stalling to try to find where my list is at. My number 10 of this list is, this is not, God, dude, I'm fucking struggling. How about that? Binge boys and girls. I am struggling tonight. I don't know if it's, I got like 2 hours of sleep last night. I'm running on nothing. Neighbors with Zac Efron and Seth Rogen. Neighbors was my number 10. A fun college-y Seth Rogen comedy. I enjoyed it. I'm sure. I think I saw Neighbors in the theaters with you, Mitch, way back in the day. Didn't it come out when we were in high school?
I think so.
I think we squatted up and went and saw Neighbors. Austin probably drug us to go see another movie. You know, Austin is trying to get us to see every single damn movie. Mitch, what you got for number 9? Or, sorry, 10.
For number 10, I have Rough Night with Scarlett Johansson, Kate McKinnon, Alana Glazer, a couple other actresses that I'm missing off the top of my head. But it's I think it's like a bachelorette party that goes wrong. And it's really funny. Came out a couple of years ago, I think.
Cool.
Yeah. Matt, what do you got at number 10?
My number 10 is same as Logan's, Neighbors. Yeah. Just a really great comedic performance from the established name of Seth Rogen. And I sort of feel like that's where Zac Efron sort of started flexing his some of his comedy chops that we're all reaping the benefits of now. So yeah, that's why number 10. Amanda, where are you at?
All right, my number 10 is War Dogs. I told Logan while making this list, I realized most of the movies I've consumed are pre-2010. So all I can say on this is I remember seeing it at the theater and I remember telling people you should go see this movie.
That's the one with Jonah Hill and Miles Teller, isn't it?
Yes.
I never saw that one.
Okay, so Logan, now you're at number 9.
I am? Okay, good. This is the end. Pretty sure we saw that together, Mitch. I'm pretty sure we skipped school to go see that movie or something. I distinctly remember us going to see this when we weren't supposed to. Like my number 10, starring Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill, Danny McBride, James Franco, and then everybody else, and Aziz Ansari for like 5 minutes. A great end of the world apocalypse comedy. That scene that comes to mind immediately. I hope you remember this one, Mitch, where Danny McBride comes out of the bathroom and he throws a fit about a certain act he committed in the bathroom and claims that he should be able to do whatever he wants on whatever he wants and with whoever he wants. And Jonah Hill got molested by a big black demon. So just a stupid movie, but it's a damn funny one. So what you got at your number 9, Mitch?
I have We're the Millers at number 9. I think we saw this movie in theaters. I know you got a lot of crap after we saw this movie. I can't think of the actor's name, but, eyebrows.
I look like the damn kid who got his balls bit by the spider.
Yeah.
Because I used to do this thing in high school where I would be like the... Is it bad?
So yeah, I got We're the Millers at number 9. Matt, what do you got at number 9?
My number 9 is a horror movie parody called Tucker and Dale versus Evil. I don't like horror movies, but I thought this was really funny, just sort of poking fun at kind of like the Deliverance and Texas Chainsaw Massacre with these, you know, kind of hick guys that these yuppies think are trying to kill them, but they're just hanging out, they're just having a good time, and the kids end up dying. So yeah, Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Amanda, what's your number 9?
My number 9 is The Spy Who Dumped Me with Mila Kunis and Kate McKinnon. I laughed my ass off at this movie, like just kind of stupid, but it entertained me for an hour and a half or however long it was. So Logan, what you got for number 8?
I'm glad you asked, Amanda. Thanks for asking me. I my number 8 is a comedy that I think a few of you have seen. Pulling it up again. I'm the worst. Anchorman 2. Keeping it on the train of movies that we've seen together, Mitch. We saw this in high school as well. I'm pretty sure we saw this on senior skip day, where there was an assembly, and I think all the seniors dipped. There's a dump truck currently.
And we went to the movies.
Like our friend Groovy. Yeah. Anchorman 2, man. That's really good, fucking funny. Paul Rudd, Steve Carell, Will Ferrell, and the other guy that nobody knows. Just a really good sequel to Anchorman. Hopefully they do a third one and make it just as obscene. What you got, Mitch? Number eight.
At number eight, I have Game Night with Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams. And there's a bunch of other like cameo actors or like cameo appearances in like, I think, actors and actresses that I can't think of. I think Keegan-Michael Key is in it. I can't remember off the top of my head if he's in it or not, but
I think you're like right.
I think he is. Really funny movie when it came out. I was not expecting it to be as funny as it was, but really solid movie. Matt, what do you got at number eight?
My number eight, I think it's the most recent one on here, and it's still several years old. Crazy Rich Asians. Just kind of a movie that I think my girlfriend actually picked to like watch that just from HBO or whatever. And I was pleasantly surprised with like how much I liked it. Just kind of a different part of the world. I love seeing nice rich opulent mansion anytime I can. So having some other great performances and just a little bit different swing to it than I was expecting. So yeah, that was good. Amanda, what's your next on your list?
My number eight is Masterminds with Zach Galifianakis and Kristen Wiig. It's based on a true story. It's funny. It's a good one. So number seven, Logan.
And Logan,
you are muted.
This is not my greatest performance. But you know what's greater than my performance was this sequel to the American Pie franchise, American Reunion. This stars all of the original cast coming back for a high school reunion. Really funny to see everybody from the original movie all grown up and coming back and still doing stupid shit. Pretty funny movie. This is the kind of American Pie sequel that I want to see. I don't think we're going to ever get one as funny as those original four, however. What you got, Mitch? Number seven.
Well, to bring it back, at number seven I have This Is the End. Just a funny comedy, a lot of cameos. And I think after seeing this movie, you know, I thought that it was like the best comedy of that year, to be honest. But hilarious movie. Matt, what do you got at number seven?
Number seven is Paul. It came out like 2011, maybe, about a couple guys that find an alien. I sort of saw this as just like kind of like a different version of Ted, where it's a just kind of like a buddy comedy, and one of the buddies is something that shouldn't be smoking and drinking as much as it does. So yeah, and I like sci-fi stuff, so that was a good little twist on it. So yeah, number seven, Paul. Amanda, what's next?
I have The Interview for number seven. Truly just an iconic movie from the actual movie to the circumstances surrounding its release. I can remember sitting in the living room on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day getting this movie on YouTube with my family because no one could go to the theaters and see it. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was funny and just a memory that I'll treasure forever, watching it for the first time. Logan, please enlighten me on what your number six is.
Number six is Horrible Bosses. Jason Bateman, the other two, Charlie Day and Jason Sudeikis kill their bosses. Jennifer Aniston, Colin Farrell, and the not-to-be-mentioned Kevin Spacey. Great comedy about three dudes that hate their bosses that obviously try to kill them. But they mess up and they are clumsy and they go through a whole series of events. And it's really funny, really good cast, really funny comedians. Amazing performance by Jennifer Aniston. I don't think it gets quite better than how she portrayed her character in that movie. What you got, Mitch? What's your number six?
At number six, I have an obscure one. I have this movie called Sorry to Bother You. It is a movie starring Lakeith Stanfield. Oh my God, I'm blanking on her name. Tessa Thompson. And yeah. Also has a couple other actors and actresses in it that I can't think of at the moment. But I saw this movie in theaters and it was basically like I didn't know, like I was laughing at some point and then it goes from being like it's kind of like a serious like telling of like perspective of like reality, and then it just completely flips the switch and goes completely obscure. I can't really describe it any other way. I just recommend like watching a trailer for it. But it's really good. It's funny. Matt, what do you got at number six?
My number six is one I would not be surprised shows up on the rest of our list. 21 Jump Street. Just again, lots of actors that have been mentioned on this list previously. Jonah Hill, I guess we haven't talked about Channing Tatum, but yeah, those are the two main guys, and I'm sure there's others that I'm just not thinking of, but yeah, they just carry a great performance of a couple of old guys trying to act young. So yeah. What is next for you, Amanda?
I have Bridesmaids at number six. Again, just, I find myself quoting, "Help me, I'm poor," way more often than I would like to admit. But a really good movie, really funny movie, great cast, big like SNL reunion, it felt like, in the cast. And I think every girl probably has this movie in their top 10. So number five for you, Logan.
Number five for me is Ted. Matt mentioned earlier about a buddy comedy movie with a little teddy bear that smokes way too much weed and drinks way too much alcohol. The movie makes no sense. Absolute no sense. But Seth MacFarlane, of course, voicing Ted, Mark Wahlberg. It's just a funny as shit movie, man. I mean, it's iconic. It's just absolutely hilarious. If you like Seth MacFarlane comedies, you're going to dig this movie. It's stupid. It makes no sense. There's really horrible racist, sexist remarks made by the whole cast. It's just it's like a live action Family Guy with a talking teddy bear that smokes a lot of pot. Mitch, what you got for your number five?
At number five, I have Bridesmaids, which Amanda just touched on. So, big SNL reunion cast. Definitely hilarious. If it's on TV, I'll normally flip it on and watch like 5 or 10 minutes of it, just so, because I know I can like I'll get a laugh in at some point. So Bridesmaids at number five. Matt, what do you have?
I will not take up any more time than is necessary. I also had Bridesmaids at number five. And I think only talking about it twice is probably good. So Amanda, what's next for you?
I have War of the Millers at number five. I loved this movie. I thought it was hilarious. I loved the cast. Big Janine girl. So had to put War of the Millers at number five. Logan, number four.
Number four for me is Grown Ups with Adam Sandler, Kevin James, Chris Rock, David Spade, Rob Schneider. The list goes on. One of Sandler's probably better movies in the late 2000s. A lot of them have just been horrible. Hubie Halloween being one of them. Reviewed that a few weeks ago. That's just dog shit movie. Just a horrible fucking movie. But Grown Ups, really nice family, 4th of July, weekend getaway. Whenever I think about the summer, I think about Grown Ups. I think about just great iconic moments between another SNL reunion between all of those guys. You know, they're all in each other's movies. So, you know, it's bound to be funny. So, yeah, Grown Ups. What you got, Mitch?
I have The Other Guys at number four. You know, Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg, a weird comedic duo, but it works. I believe The Rock and Samuel Jackson have a cameo in this that's hilarious.
Aim for the bushes.
Wait, what?
Aim for the bushes.
So yeah, I have The Other Guys at number four, just a solid comedy. Matt, what do you have at number four?
My number four is We Are the Millers. So yeah, not much more to say about that one, except like Logan did, I'll offer a personal anecdote about it. People think that some members of my like immediate family, so like me, my sister, my mom and dad, don't look alike. So they were saying that my family was a We Are the Millers situation, and it kind of hurt my feelings a few times. But we all got stuff. Amanda, what's next on your list?
At number four, I have Bad Moms with Mila Kunis, Kristen Bell, and Katherine Hahn. I think is how you say the last name. Just a story of three moms coming from different walks of life at PTA that finally decide they're gonna snap. They're done with it, and it's pretty funny. I know there's been a spinoff of it, like a Christmas movie. I haven't seen that one, but I do enjoy the original Bad Moms. Logan, what's next for you?
What's next for me? Number three is 21 Jump Street. Hadn't seen the original show ever. From back in the day. I remember I went and saw this movie in theaters with my mother. And she was pointing out all of the callbacks to the original with, of course, the cameo of Johnny Depp at the very end, because I'm pretty sure he was the lead actor in the original TV show of 21 Jump Street. Yeah, really freaking good movie. Who knew that Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill would make a great combination like that? Also, Brie Larson in that movie. Kind of, I went back and watched that recently. Captain Marvel herself was all up in that movie. Dave Franco also, what's his name? The damn gym teacher that ends up being the fucking villain. Rob Riggle, the underrated comedian of our time. Great cast, great movie. I watch the movie at least once a year or a couple times a year. It's absolute funny ass movie. If you tell me you haven't seen it, like, we're sitting down and we're watching it. So Mitch, what you got? Number three.
At number three, I have a movie, that I don't know if many people have seen, but it's The Nice Guys with, Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. It's kind of like, it is a comedy, but it's kind of like a dark comedy too. I thought that it was hilarious. You know, it's like these two, I want to say they're like they're like private detectives again, I guess, like private eyes or whatever. And they, you know, get thrown into a horrible situation of a girl going missing and trying to track her down and all that stuff. So really, really funny movie. funny scenes in that movie. So yeah, that's what I have at number three. Matt, what do you got at number three?
My number three is one I think just you brought up before, Mitch, Game Night. I think Jason Bateman's one of, you know, his, he's just an actor that I really like. I think he's a little bit underrated, which less so with Ozark going on. And I think it's sort of like a really interesting take on kind of like the crazy night out formula, by like sort of having it be sort of like the last hurrah, for some, little bit older couples. And then one cameo you didn't mention, Mitch, when you were talking about it, that I think seals it, is Jesse Plemons of Breaking Bad and Friday Night Lights. Just the psycho cop who really wants to play with them. Oh, he is just, man, undefeated.
Can we just acknowledge Jesse Plemons for a minute? This dude goes from Friday Night Lights to Breaking Bad, and now he's in like every other Netflix original movie.
Yeah.
And he's honestly the best, but he's not a great actor.
No. he's a good enough actor to crush it in all of those things.
Oh, yeah. He absolutely crushes it in every movie he's in, but that's not saying much. But
right.
Amanda, go ahead for number whatever we're on.
Three.
Number three. My number three is Neighbors with Zac Efron, Dave Franco. I just remember seeing this like right before going off to college and being like, this is gonna be fucking awesome. So I mean, obviously my college experience was nothing like that, but it was a great movie and I still watch it on like sick days. I love it. Logan, what you got next?
My number two is one that Mitch has brought up previously. I won't hit on it too much, but The Other Guys, absolutely a great movie. Just the lion and tuna monologue alone from Will Ferrell is just absolutely bonkers. I have said since I've seen that movie to people, I hope you like prison food and penis. Just a great, great movie. Like Mitch said, like the who knew that Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell would make a good duo? This movie kind of started it, and then they did the Daddy's Home movies, which I actually haven't seen, but yeah, these guys are great. Love The Other Guys. One of my buddies, Turner, actually, Amanda, you know, hadn't ever seen it before, and we watched it with him this last Thanksgiving, and he hasn't been the same. Changed his life. Aim for the bushes. What you got, Mitch? Number two.
Number two, I have Deadpool at number two. You know, I hesitated on putting this movie in here because it's like a superhero movie or whatever, but I thought that for a comedic superhero, I thought there's no other person than that I would rather see in my top 10 than Deadpool. So, you know, Ryan Reynolds, you got, oh my God, I'm blanking on his name.
Silicon Valley dude, TJ Miller. Yes, yeah.
TJ Miller. You know, there's some scenes in there and like blooper reels that are just hilarious to sit and watch for that movie. And yeah, Deadpool at number two. Matt, what do you got?
My number two is The Other Guys, so matching Logan. And I was also, to keep it quick, just gonna mention the lion versus tuna scene, but Logan took that as well. So I'll just go for the running bit with Will Ferrell and his wife, the beautiful and talented Eva Mendes, but he treats like absolute trash, which isn't mean, or it's kind of mean, but it's quite funny. So Amanda, what's your runner up?
Gator don't take no shit.
My number two is Easy A. There's to say other than it's a great movie. It's a movie that shapes my adolescence, which explains a lot about who I am as a person now, with all the sarcasm and not that funny humor in the movie. But I loved it, so that's my number two. Logan, is your top movie 2010 to 2020?
My favorite comedy movie of this last decade was, you all had it on your list, We're the Millers. Absolutely loved this movie. I could quote it front to back. My license plate on my car said no regrets. Or no, it said, nah, I'm saying, like the dude was like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, I appreciate you continuously checking me in with me like that. Yeah, great cast, man. That's when I got hooked on Jason Sudeikis. And then after that, I think, I don't know if Horrible Bosses came before or after, but Jennifer Aniston also just killed it. The two kids, Emma Roberts, and who knows the name of the other kid? He's also in every other Netflix original movie, similar to Jesse Plemons. They're probably related. They're probably just swapping roles. Yeah, a solid, a really freaking funny comedy movie. Highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. Nick Offerman also in there as the DEA agent. That tent scene where he's like ear fucking him is just that. That's just it doesn't get much better than that, you guys. So that's my favorite comedy of the last decade. What you got, Mitch, to round it out?
I have another obscure one. What We Do in the Shadows, with Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement. Oh man, I'm blanking on the other guy's name. Daniel Brewer. Let me look it up real quick. Oh my God. Jonathan Brew. And these guys are hilarious in this movie. It got a spin-off TV show produced by Taika Waititi, and I just highly recommend this movie. I found out about it a couple of years ago and watched it one night and just was like, oh my God, how did I miss this movie when it came out? And it just didn't get a lot of marketing for it, and it's a short movie, 85 minutes. I have like the Wikipedia pulled up right now. just a solid, funny movie about vampires, werewolves, and Halloween theme. I thought it was perfect for Halloween theme also for this week. And just what happens when you get three vampires that live in an apartment in New Zealand, and what can go wrong, and what happens, what it's like with that. So really funny movie, highly recommend. Matt, what do you got at number one?
So my number one is one, it flirts with the number one movie of all time for me personally, and that is Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I don't know if it's just because this movie that came out in 2010 hit me right as I was really into indie music and classic video games, two things it kind of just knocked out of the park. And then just I was looking at the cast. Thank you for stalling, Mitch. It gave me a chance to pull up IMDb page for this one. So you got Michael Cera, a Culkin brother, Anna Kendrick, Aubrey Plaza, Jason Schwartzman, Chris Evans is in there for like 2 minutes.
I was gonna say, wasn't Chris Evans in there?
Yeah, he was one of the exes, but yeah, just like this crazy cast. Oh, Brie Larson as well, just showing up all over this list. But yeah, it's just a movie that was really like clever, like sort of a lot of its humor I get from it, sort of like sight gags and just like homages to video games and stuff. So I know probably not the classically greatest movie ever, but the nostalgia and just it hitting sort of the right buttons for me at the right time just put it at the number one. So yeah. And then finish this off, Amanda, what's your top?
My top movie, I think, was mentioned by every single one of you, and it is 21 Jump Street. There's not much more to be said about it. I will say that with my friends, I never say something along the lines of, you know what I'm saying? It's always Shafil. I love that movie. Another one that I rewatch all the time whenever I get the chance to.
Very well said, guys. That was our top comedies of the last decade. And that was episode 144 of The Binge Boys. Guys, follow along on the socials as are in the descriptions of the episodes. And we're all tagged in all the posts for all these reviews and shit. So just follow me one time. Leave that rating and reviewing on Apple and Spotify. You can follow along on Google, as well as pretty much every other place you listen to your podcast. I actually went the other day and made sure that this and all my other pods are available on all these other services. And these podcasts are available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, Podcast Index, Player FM, Deezer, which might name my kid Deezer. That's a great one. Gaana, and Stitcher. All of the pods we got are available on all of those. Deezer. It just sounds like a guy who fucks. Yo, Deezer's coming to this party. You better watch out. Hide your girl. Guys, Amanda, thank you for joining me. Amanda's going to be a host on a podcast that is getting rebooted, and its second season is starting on December 7th. 2027. We're doing a soft reboot, and it's gonna take a minute. But no, this year, guys, we got a month off of What Are We? Amanda is one of the rotating female hosts that I will have, and we are super excited to get it done. Talking about shitty men and
lots of experience. So,
so with that being said, I'm rambling again. I'm just gonna play myself out and thank everyone for being here and for listening. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Peace. Bye.